You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The 1865 Match Report.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 Match Report. As Forest's Premier League return ended in a 2-0 defeat to Newcastle United at St James's Park. A long-range strike from Fabian Schär and a Callum Wilson finish gave Newcastle the win. And to be honest, they more than deserved it on the day. Forest struggled to really get going. And the gap between the Championship and the Premier League and that sort of jump up in quality, I think, was evident on the day. Before we get into the match report itself, we later on in the podcast will hear the view from the opposition. We've got a Newcastle fan from the Toon Under podcast joining us. And we've also got Forest news coming up later. So a disappointing return to Premier League football for Forest after 23 years away. There's plenty for us to discuss and to look over from the match at St James's Park. And I've got Tom Newton with me, who was there, one of the travelling Forest fans up in the gods, cheering on the Reds. Tom, just quickly before we go into the team news, what was it like travelling to a Premier League match as a Forest fan?
It was exciting because obviously it's a decent journey up to Newcastle, and then obviously certain landmarks on the way going up the A1. And obviously once you saw the Angel of the North, you knew just around the corner there was Newcastle. So yeah, the journey up there was pretty decent yesterday. Not too many traffic problems or anything. So yeah, it was exciting, and it was a decent day weather-wise and everything up in Newcastle. And yeah, it was just nice to get the Premier League season up and running.
And the team news from Forest's point of view was that Steve Cooper handed debuts to six of the summer signings. So Dean Henderson was in goal. The back three of Worrell, Niakate and Scott McKenna. Forest lined up in the same sort of formation that served them well last season, with three centre-backs, wing-backs, two in midfield with one in front and then two up top. The wing-backs were new signings, Harry Toffolo and Nico Williams. Jack Colback against his old club in the middle of the park alongside Lewis O'Brien, another of the new signings. Jesse Lingard just in front of them, and then Brennan Johnson and Sam Surridge up top. What did you make of the lineup, Tom, and team choice from Steve Cooper before the match?
At the moment, I think that when you look at what we've got available, I think the team near enough picks itself. Yeah, I wasn't too surprised with the team really, but as the match went on, certain bits what I picked out was that Colback and Lewis O'Brien are two similar players, and I just think we need a few extra legs in there. But I, at the moment, I think the team picks itself at the moment, and I think we're going to might see like a bit of change in the next few weeks as new personnel comes in.
The opening 20 minutes, I thought, was a bit of a baptism from Forest's point of view. They were struggling to get out of their own half, and Newcastle really threw everything at them in those opening exchanges. I lost count of the amount of corners that Newcastle had. I don't know if you could keep track in the stadium, but it was a good 7 or 8 corners, I think, in those opening 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, first 10 minutes, I was asking to people around me, how many corners is that? And I'm sure by 10 minutes, it was 6. But like you said, Newcastle come out the traps really quickly and just penned us back. And Forest, in the first, 20 minutes, coped defensively with set pieces and what was coming into the box and everything. But like you said, we just couldn't get out, especially in the first 20 minutes. And I just thought then Forest needed a break or something, and it didn't really happen. And it was, you just looked thinking, this is going to be a bit of a long afternoon. And you just hope that Forest stay strong, especially up until half time.
To be fair to Newcastle and their supporters, they created a right atmosphere around St James's Park. They were obviously excited about a new season, first full season under Eddie Howe, and they were up for it. The players seemed up for it as well. So Forest were always up against it in terms of that atmosphere and that kind of excitement around Newcastle. And for us next week, that'll be us against West Ham. So we will have that in our favour in our game next week. But I think you touched on it there. Forest, when they had the ball, and this wasn't just in the opening 20 minutes, this was throughout the game, they struggled to get their foot on it and retain possession, didn't they? And it just kept coming back.
Yeah. When you look at Newcastle, apart from St. Maximum, who was quick, it was speed of thought, which was the massive difference here. I mean, Newcastle only needed one or two touches to release the ball and get somebody else in. We needed three or four. And when you do that, Newcastle are going to close you down really quickly. And then we're like obviously facing our own goal, like looking to pass it back, or they were putting a block in or intercepting the ball. And that was seemed to be the common factor for the whole afternoon. We just gave the ball away cheaply. I think we was naive with the ball and without the ball. And I mean, hopefully in the next few weeks, Forest will iron out these problems, and hopefully we can retain the ball better and close down quicker and don't need as many touches. But yeah, as soon as we got the ball, Newcastle were on us, and that was a huge difference yesterday.
And Newcastle did have some chances in that first half. There was a shot from Joel Linton, which Henderson parried away, which was a decent save. Joel Linton then went on a run himself and must have beat 4 or 5 Forest players, came across the front of the penalty area. And I think actually Scott McKenna deserves a bit of credit here, because he came sliding across, and I think he did just enough to force Joel Linton into dragging the shot wide. A few instances of set pieces coming into the box. Kieran Trippier with his delivery that we know all about. Henderson tipped across onto the post as well. I forget who that was from the Newcastle side, but
I think it was Almiron.
Almiron, that's it. But again, it was an example there. Forest were up against it. Newcastle were starting to carve out chances. They had some really good movement from the likes of St. Maximin, Almiron, Joel Linton, Callum Wilson, really were pulling Forest around. But I thought Forest did defend quite well, even though they were under the cosh. I thought defensively they were doing okay. What did you think?
Like I said, they were under the cosh, and I think at every set piece, Forest, I think they alluded to it in the post-match interviews yesterday. Forest were the ones who made contact with the ball first as the balls were coming into the box. And I thought we looked pretty strong in that aspect. Nyakate, McKenna and Warwick, they were getting the heads on most things. And Henderson were coming for the ball quite a few times and then releasing Nico Williams on the right-hand side. So in that aspect, that's a positive. But it's just the other bits and bobs
which obviously overshadowed that positive, really. So, but hopefully, like I said, we can iron out those problems and start to get going sooner rather than later.
How did you think that the new players settled into this Forest side? The likes of O'Brien, Nico Williams, etc. Nick Carte as well, who was busy defensively. How did they look to you?
I'll start with the goalkeeper. I thought Henderson, pretty decent, pretty sure, but we've mentioned in our chat, I think he could have done better with the first goal what Shaw scored. But having said that, he wasn't helped with the players around him because they basically didn't close him down, and he's basically couldn't believe his luck when nobody's closed him down and he's had a shot on goal. So I thought he did okay in periods. Nico Williams, he was good in periods, but then he was responsible for losing the ball on a few occasions. Nia Carte looks pretty decent. I think he's going to be a real star in our back line. O'Brien, I thought he started okay, but as soon as he got that booking, and him and Colbert, I think they're too much of a like. And but sometimes, like, Colbert was keep coming over to help Toffolo out. I thought Toffolo, he was good, but sometimes he struggled. Lingard, I don't think he's 100% match fit yet, but you could see, like, he's played at the highest level. You could see bits when he was, like, getting the ball and obviously playing it out wide to Johnson, etc. But then I think as soon as Awani come on and Mangala, I think the game was petering out in Newcastle's favour, really, and it was just a matter of time before they got their second goal, because I think Forest been pulled all over the place, and I think they were mentally and physically knackered yesterday. But like I say, it's a learning curve, and shows the step up in class when you get to the Premier League.
Yeah, definitely. The chance that Forest created in the first half, their first chance of the game, really involved Lewis O'Brien. He won the ball back, drove forward, and on the edge of the box, threaded a lovely ball through, and Jesse Lingard, with his movement, got on the end of it. His shot was blocked by Cher, but that was a little moment of quality from Forest and a little sign that there was something there, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a good play, but ultimately it was like, it wasn't enough because of obviously a bit of naivety in our play to when we was losing the ball. We couldn't get in those positions enough. And hopefully it will change in the next few weeks. And I don't want it to be doom and gloom after the first game, because I think anybody who went to the game or who watched it on a stream or whatever, know there is still work to do. But the good thing about it is that there's things still to do, but it's happening during a transfer window. So that would have been a real eye-opener yesterday of what we need. And we've still got, obviously, 2 or 3 weeks to actually get more players in. And once they bed in, and along with the players who have been signed earlier in the summer, I think we will get there, but it's just going to take a bit of time. And I said before the game yesterday, it was going to be a bit of a slow burner for us. Why we was waiting for those players to gel, etc., and obviously iron out any problems. I think it's going to take a bit of time before we gain momentum. But that happened last season, if you remember. We had a terrible start, and Chris Hughton was sacked. Steve Cooper come in, and you could see a huge improvement. But obviously, the improvement took a bit. Quite a long time for everything to click. Then obviously, as soon as that happened, then we started going up the table, and I've got a funny feeling it's going to be the same this season, where we're going to be a slow burn, and as soon as players gel, etc., and get used to Steve Cooper's workings, then we will start to gradually improve.
On to the second half then. Having gone in level at the break, and I think Forrest would have been very happy with that, the second half started in a similar fashion. Newcastle on top, pressing, forcing Forest back and stopping Forest from playing out. I think we were trying to play out in the same way as we did in the Championship, playing out from the back, but Newcastle's pressing and their energy and ultimately their quality stopped us from being able to play how we were so used to playing in the Championship. And they probably did make us look like a Championship team that was trying to compete in the Premier League at times. They did have a chance, and it was St. Maximin played through on goal, but Scott McKenna again came across, made the block between him and Henderson, and the ball went away. But Newcastle eventually did get their opening goal. Forest held out until 58 minutes. And talk us through this one, Tom. To be fair, it was one hell of a strike.
It was. I think there was a bit of naivety in the play beforehand, like too many touches. And ultimately, as the ball got played over to the far side and the cross coming, and initially McKenna has cleared the ball, but then we didn't pick up the second ball. I think Colback's the closest to it, and he hasn't really closed down Fabian Schär, and he's just hit it from, 25 yards. And I've seen a bit of criticism from certain quarters that Dean Henderson could have done better. And I think he could have done better. If you're in the Premier League and you've got a player of Premier League class who's played there and obviously on the periphery of the England squad, I think he should be saving that. But if you look at the play prior to that, I think we was a bit all over the place because we had the ball in our possession. We've lost the ball. It gets switched over to the left-hand side. And I just think, we wasn't really set for it. But, I think he should be saving that. But that's not taking away anything from Fabian Schär. It is a decent strike. But ultimately, we've got to do better in terms of closing them down, regardless of where it is. You've got players in the Premier League and who can score absolute worldies. And as soon as that ball come to Fabian Schär, we should have closed him down, but we was like stood off. And it's like you can have a free shot in, he has done, and it's gone into top corner.
And he's hit ones like that for Newcastle before from very similar positions, in fact, where he strode forward and belted one into the top corner. So yeah, that's probably one where Forrest should have been a bit more aware of what he can do. He's not just a centre back, he's a centre back who can strike a ball lovely as well. So yeah, one for Forrest to learn from there. There were similar vibes about the second goal as well, weren't there? A bit of overplaying and giving the ball away in a dangerous position. And eventually that led to the second goal and more or less killed Forrest off at that point, didn't it, Tom?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, again, naivety in the play, trying to play it out, too many touches, not being precise enough with the pass. Then Newcastle get it back and obviously, I think it's St. Maximin who puts the cross in, and all he needs is like a little dainty flick from Callum Wilson, and he's looped it into the far corner. So, that killed us off and knocked the stuff out of us, because at 1-0, you might have one chance and might be able to basically get a 1-1, but we didn't get that chance. They got the chance to score the second goal, and that basically was the end of the game in everybody's eyes.
Forrest did have one move which perhaps they could have scored from, and that was Nico Williams away down the right-hand side. He actually puts in a brilliant ball. If you watch it back, he whips it in fantastically and gets it between Newcastle defenders for Sam Surridge to come onto, but he plants his header into the ground and the ball goes away and the chance was missed. And on the stream I was watching, the co-commentator thought that Surridge should have actually scored there. It was a tough chance, but it was a sign there of the quality that Nico Williams has got. It was a superb ball in.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good ball in. But if you look, when Surridge is starting his run, he comes in between two defenders. And I think the defenders don't really do a lot, but they do a lot, if that makes sense. So you just close that space, and then obviously he's coming between them. And got his header in and didn't really get it on target. So I think if, no disrespect to Sam Surridge, but if that's like a top-end Premier League striker, it's a goal. And unfortunately, at the moment, Sam Surridge isn't a top-end Premier League striker, so it's probably a half chance at best for him. But the delivery in from Nico Williams was absolutely brilliant, and hopefully he can do more of that in the coming weeks and months.
Ultimately, though, Forrest didn't find any other ways back into the match or create many chances in that second half, and Newcastle ease their way to a deserved victory. Looking back on the Forest performance, what do you think they could have done differently to perhaps be more competitive or to possibly change the course of the match?
I think players need, like I said, players need to be quicker with the ball. They need to not take as many touches, and they need to probably close down a bit better. I think at times, I don't know if they were like mentally exhausted, or because Newcastle did give him the run around times, but I just think we just need to be a bit cuter with the ball and obviously play it with a bit, probably play the ball a bit quicker, close down a bit quicker and not have too many touches. I mean, in the Championship, I mean, if you look at it, Forest could have taken like 3 or 4 touches, and I'm not singling out McKenna here, but for example, he got the ball and he wanted somebody to come across. Nobody come across, so it's like 3 or 4. And sometimes you can get away with that in the Championship, but he needed the 3 or 4 touches and he's trying to play it down the line and it gets intercepted for a Forest throw. And they close the space really quickly from a throw, then they get the ball back. And that was just the level in difference yesterday, that we needed too many touches and they didn't. And like I said earlier, it's not like the fact that all the players have got the speed, well, the physical speed is like Saint-Maximin, but speed of thought, and that was the difference yesterday, where they get the ball 1 touch, 2 touch, and they've released it, and we needed more touches. And ultimately, you can't do that in the Premier League because the players are quicker with the speed of thought.
Who impressed you most in a Forest shirt?
I think Nick Carter. I think he's made for the Premier League. He's got that build of like a Rudiger, who's in. He had really classy defensive qualities yesterday, where he's got the strength and he's got that bit of speed of thought as well. So I think he's going to be good. But I think even though yesterday was a baptism of fire, I don't think we should take too much out of it. Like, or he's not going to be good enough. I think it's going to take time. But yeah, some players didn't have a good game yesterday. But that's not discouraging that they're not going to be good players. I think it's just going to take time to gel in everything. I thought, like I said, as soon as Lingard gets up to match fitness, I think he's going to be the star in our side. You could see like flashes of brilliance from him. And Mangala, the more game time he's going to get, I think he's going to be pretty decent. But he only had like, what, 10, 15 minutes yesterday, so it's hard to take anything from his brief appearance yesterday.
So we've been talking amongst ourselves in sort of our WhatsApp group about the game, and we were talking to each other during the match as well. I think the general feeling is that Forest did look like a Championship side making the step up and perhaps struggling to bridge that gap between Championship and Premier League. I think they did look a bit lightweight at times, particularly in midfield. We saw Oral Mangala come on late in the game and he looked okay as much as he was involved. He might be a key figure as he gains match sharpness and gets more time in the side. But much has been said of Forest's recruitment this summer, and people outside of the club who perhaps don't know the story of how Forest got promoted and the players who we've lost since the playoff final, we'll look at the Forest team and think, well, they've signed too many players. They're upsetting the balance of the squad, the team morale, etc. But I look at the match yesterday and I'm going to put a question to you. Does that Newcastle performance show that actually we need more players and we need more reinforcements to be competitive?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think with the midfield, I think, like I said earlier, I think O'Brien and Colback are good players. And I think O'Brien will start more games than Colback. But I think we just needed a few more legs in there. But then you look at the bench, apart from Mangala and Awanihi, is that the bench is a bit light. And if you look at their side, they, even though he didn't start yesterday, but they brought Sven Botman on. And they brought Murphy on, Chris Wood on. And then look at our bench, and we brought Awanihi on, Mangala on, and Alex Mighton. But beyond that, the our side wasn't strong enough. But not many people have said this from yesterday, is Ryan Yates wasn't in there.
Yeah.
And Ryan Yates could have been a massive difference yesterday. We all know he's not the best footballer, but he will get in people's faces and he will break up the play and he can get around a football pitch. And not many people have said that. And I was thinking about this on the way back from Newcastle yesterday. If he was fit and match fit, would have he made the difference? I mean, I know it means a lot of cogs have to fit into other cogs for a much better performance yesterday. But I think he would have been a huge difference of just breaking up Newcastle's play. And as much as O'Brien and Colback tried yesterday, they didn't really break up the play. Mm. And Yates could have been just that important cog in that midfield yesterday. But we would never know until he gets back into the side kind of thing. So, but going back to your question, yeah, we do need more players. And whether that's going to be Morgan Gibbs-White, because Wolves are on the verge of buying Guedes from Valencia. And I think he plays in the same position as Morgan Gibbs-White. So if that's a domino effect for us to get Gibbs-White, then that's just one player. But I still think we need another striker and a couple of more in there to, because not only we need a strong competitive starting 11, but we need the reinforcements on the bench if we're losing the game or things aren't going according to plan. And then we've got that quality off the bench to obviously help us out. And yesterday you looked at the bench and no disrespect to him. Is it Hammond who's...
Yeah, Ollie Hammond, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to him, but he's never kicked a ball at first team level. So it's, if he did come on yesterday, it was very hard for him to change a game because he's not played much, if any, first team action. Then obviously you've got Lyle Taylor on the bench, etc. So, which some people might think he's on his way out, and it's been put on record that I'm not his biggest fan, but I'm not saying I don't want him at the club, but I just think Steve Cooper probably thinks that we can get somebody better in. And I think by the end of the window, I think Lyle Taylor won't be here, whether he goes back to Birmingham or whoever. So, but yeah, we do need more players in and more players of a good quality to make us competitive and make us improve over the next weeks and months.
Yeah, and Taylor's an example there. Somebody who didn't play much of a part for Forest in the Championship. So now in the Premier League, he's on the bench and it does feel like we are a bit stretched in that regard. You had Cafu on the bench as well. Loic and Bayso, players who weren't regulars in the Championship.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, Cafu, we didn't really see him much. I mean, I know he come on in the playoff semi, but ultimately that was to be a penalty taker. Taylor was spent half of last season on loan. Mbe, so apart from the first couple of games of the season, we never saw him last year. And I can't remember who else was on the bench as well. I know Myson, Amangala, Anoui.
Biancone, and then Wayne Hennessy, obviously, as the goalkeeper sub.
Yeah, so yeah, we do need extra quality on the bench. And then two players have left the club this week on loan. Richard Lue has got, I think, if he's not already gone, he's on the verge of going back to Toronto. And Brian Hoscheda has gone to Real Salt Lake City, which when we bought them in January, I think they were players for the Championship. And because the club's evolved and we've got into the Premier League, I think then they're not good enough. And no, I know we haven't seen them. It's not a matter of writing them off, but we never saw them in the Championship, hardly. Yeah. So to expect them to be regulars or regular squad players in the Premier League, it's a huge ask.
And just a quick one back to Ryan Yates. Obviously, him not being available affected our depth. Steve Cook as well was unavailable for the match. And whether he'd have started or not, I'm not sure, but those two missing in particular exposed Forrest's lack of depth in the squad, I thought. The bench would have looked a little bit stronger had both of them or even one of them been available to be on the bench. And it does show you that even though we've done a lot of work in the transfer market this summer, there's still plenty of work to do in order for us to be competitive and give ourselves the best chance of staying in the Premier League.
Yeah. And if you look at the other two fellow promoted sides, Bournemouth and Fulham, because obviously they've been in the Premier League in the last few years and gone back to Championship, they've managed to probably keep decent squad depth and players who have played in the Premier League. And we've never had that. So we're playing catch up to them, but also playing catch up for everybody else in the league to remain competitive. So, yeah, it's going to take a few more players to, one, give us the squad depth, and secondly, give us the quality that's needed to play another 37 games in the Premier League.
And comparing ourselves to the other two promoted sides who played yesterday, both of whom got very good results, Fulham 2-2 at home to Liverpool, Bournemouth beating Aston Villa 2-0. Are they just benefiting from having a more settled group of players and a more settled side than what we have at the moment?
Yeah, possibly, because I know that home advantage is a key factor, and them two did play at home yesterday. And also, they might have a settled side. I mean, Scott Parker was alluding to it a couple of weeks ago in his our press conference, saying, oh, we're not ready, we're not competitive, but their side probably seems a bit more settled than ours, because they have, apart from getting Ryan Fredericks in and Tavernier from is it Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
So they've only added two, and it hasn't really disrupted the balance of their squad in terms of what they already had. And Fulham are the same, really. Because obviously they've still got the majority of the players when they were last in the Premier League. So, we've just had like a massive upheaval in terms of players leaving, getting players in. So, like I said earlier on, it's just going to take time for those players to gel and learn each other's qualities and et cetera. They're Fulham and Bournemouth are in a different world to us in terms of what they've got in squad depth compared to us.
Yeah, and there is plenty of work for Forest to do after the Newcastle game, as we all know, and as they prepare for their first home Premier League game at the City Ground for 23 years against West Ham next Sunday.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Before we move on, we've got the opposition view on the Newcastle match. And joining us from the Toon Under podcast, here's Jack.
I think the first thing to say really is that it really is really great to see Forest back in the Premier League. I hope that's not patronising or condescending. I think you've probably heard quite a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. But the club with such history and support that... it's really good for the Premier League to have them back in. And I think Newcastle and Forest supporters are probably two of the most excited and hopeful fan bases this summer. In terms of the actual match, so Newcastle have only been beaten at home by Liverpool and City under Eddie Howe since he took over in October. And we did actually win six home games in a row at one point last season. So St James's Park really is a bit of a fortress, a really difficult place to come for opposition teams. The last home game of last season was an equally convincing 2-0 against Arsenal back in May. And Newcastle as a club is really on the up. The atmosphere is just absolutely amazing around the city, around the place. And there's a lot of momentum there. So it's really difficult for any away team at the moment to come to St James's Park, which is really good for us. With the match, I think the tone of the match was really set in the first 10 minutes with the four corners, a couple of chances that Newcastle had had in that first period. Almiron and Saint-Maximin were picked out as the kind of danger men in our preview, what we did with Rich, and they were both really lively. Bruno and Joe Linton are just top-class midfield players. They'll give anybody a good game. I think Forrest defended bravely and did really well in limiting kind of clear chances, but they couldn't escape the press and they were forced into a couple of errors. But they're not the first team and they won't be the last that happens to with Newcastle this season. It's kind of a feature of our game that has really come on, and you can see that the team and the players have been coached well by Eddie Howe in that style of play now. There was two just real quality Premier League goals that were the difference. Cher's done that before. He's got a real rocker on him, and everybody knows what Callum Wilson can do. And I think our defence, Byrne and Cher, coped really well with the Lingard and Johnson threat. It was really difficult for us to kind of get out of their own half at times, I think. But as I said, I think that was just as much to do with Newcastle's pressure and the way that we played as much as anything Forest were not doing right. I think I wouldn't really be too disheartened as a Forest fan. I think you'll be a very different prospect when the new players settle in and when you're back at the City Ground. And Steve Cooper's obviously a really talented coach who knows what he's doing. He's sort of from the Eddie Howe school, I think, as well. So really good luck for the rest of the season, apart from for the return game in March. Maybe you've got a bit of time to get Henry Lansbury in back before that one. Cheers.
Thanks, Jack. And now it's time for the Forest News Bulletin with Callum Castelnuovo.
Hi, it's Callum Castelnuovo of the 1865 News Roundup on Sunday, the 7th of August. So it's been a busy week at Forest. We've had a few outgoings. We've had Zande Silva to Dijon and Nuno Da Costa to Auxerre. We've had a few loan outgoings. So Ojeda has gone to the MLS with Real Salt Lake, and Richie Larea has returned to Toronto, where he actually got an assist and won a penalty for his side on his kind of debut, be his second debut for the team. So sounds like it's going well already. We've heard that Lolly may be going to Australia. So we obviously know that he is going to be leaving the club. He's with the under-23s at the moment, and that sounds like the likely destination at the moment. But then, yeah, the big bit of news that's kind of took over the week is the Morgan Gibbs-White saga. So we've had a few bids rejected, but it looks like they are bringing in Gonçalo Guedes from Valencia. The Wolves side are Bruno Lage, and he kind of plays a similar role to Gibbs-White. So it might be that kind of influences everything, because it has been rumoured that if they're to bring a player in Wolves, then they might be more inclined to let Gibbs-White go. I think they're buying Guedes for around £27 million. So it's a similar amount that Forest are offering for Gibbs-White. So it's one to keep an eye on. There's a lot of reports, a lot of rumours, but he'd be a great addition to the side. And there's supposed to be a verbal agreement with Freuler from Atalanta, but negotiations are ongoing between both clubs. That sounds like it could get done, something to keep an eye on. And then Forest have inquired about Jiz Horkamp and Che Adams, which means that they are looking for a striker. Obviously, Keenan Davis was also on the radar. I know he picked up a hamstring injury recently. But yeah, they're not slowing down in terms of a striker, and they are looking for a left back. And then Riley Harbottle scored his first goal for Mansfield this week, which is great. So it looks like it's going well for him with Mansfield. And then Andy Reid appointed to the first team coaching staff after 18 months as under-23's head coach, which is a great step up for him. Really good for the club. He obviously used to play for the club over 200 appearances. And it's really good. It's really good to have that development between the actual club itself. And yeah, I'll be back with more Forest news after the West Ham game.
So, Tom, on to West Ham. It'll be Forest's first home Premier League match for 23 years. The first time that the City Ground has hosted top flight football for the best part of a generation. How are you feeling ahead of this game? And do you think that we'll see a response from Forest after what happened at Newcastle?
Yeah, I can't wait for the home game next week against West Ham, practice City Ground and everything. And whether Fours have got a display up the sleeve, who knows? So, like I says, 23 years been a long time without Premier League football at the City Ground. But regarding Forest, there has to be an improvement. You don't want a trend setting in where we've lost the first two games of the season. So first and foremost, the performance has got to be a hell of a lot better. And I think it will, because when we had like a setback last season under Steve Cooper, the game after was a real improvement. He's got, and in the Championship, he's like, he played on like a Saturday or whatever. Then you had probably a midweek game. We've got a full week now. Well, more than a full week, because obviously we've got the extra day. And also whether this is going to be a factor already, but we've got an extra day over West Ham because they pulled a today. I think there will be an improvement. Steve Cooper and the players will know that. So they'll be working really hard this week. Whether we see any new recruits come in, who knows? Because I know the club's constantly looking for to improve the squad, etc. Next week, full bouncing City Ground. I think it's going to be a great occasion.
You saw the advantage that a raucous home crowd can give a team at Newcastle. So next week it's Forest's turn, and I'm sure the fans will turn up in their numbers, make the City Ground a cauldron of noise, and really try and cheer Forest on to securing a victory, which would be a very special occasion, actually, if they pull it off, their first home Premier League match for 23 years and a good West Ham team. But I think there's every reason Forest, if they can get their performance together and learn from what's happened at Newcastle, I don't see a reason why Forest can't go into that game and potentially take all 3 points.
Yeah, and we've got to go into the games, regardless of who it is, we've got to go in with the mindset that every team's beatable. And Liverpool are beatable. I mean, they struggled yesterday in certain aspects against Fulham to get a 2-2 draw. And you would have thought that you would put your house on Liverpool winning the game yesterday, and ultimately they didn't. I know Man City played today. They got West Ham today. So, one of those where you've got to go into the game with the mindset that anybody's beatable and try and get somebody on an off day. But I think next week, first home game, I think the home form is going to be absolutely crucial for Forest to retain their Premier League status come next May. So, really looking forward to it. Full crowd in and everything, who will make an absolute racket. So, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully there's a vast improvement from Forest with, 4 weeks or so. Getting to know the players, get to know each other a lot better. And then Steve Cooper's got a full week to work on the training ground with them.
Absolutely. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Tom. And thank you as well, listener, for joining us. If you are joining us for the first time this season, we've got match reports after every game. We've got our big pods once a month, our big roundup. So do subscribe. Do leave us a review in your podcast provider, and that will help Forest fans find our content, and also make sure that you don't miss a match report from us throughout the season. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.